Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, January 12th, 2018. It's very cold outside, but now we turn the heat up with Tim Grenhard.
Hey!
Look at his look at this guy bouncing in.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
You look chipper.
Got your haircut, didn't you?
I did. Fresh haircut. New attitude.
You sound better.
Trying to get my voice back a little bit.
Right. You feel better?
I feel better. I feel better listening to you guys this morning.
Oh, really? Do you?
I feel so much better. I feel great. Got basketball at 11 o'clock in the morning. See, 11 o'clock in the morning is perfect for me. I like early morning. Gives you more time to party after the game.
I'm already warmed up and ready to go at 11. Let's go.
Let's just do it. Well, you're going to be up to 10 o'clock at night? Wow. How do you, like, function that late at night?
Oh, I'm just going to be getting started at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm in bed. When you go up to St. Joe's and you're driving.
He starts at 10.
I can't even fathom
He'll get off the stage at 1 a.m.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old.
No, I try to get a little sleep here and there during the day, but my biggest problem is I don't go to sleep early. And I think Jake has that problem too. I can't.
Yeah.
No, not me.
I can't go to sleep before midnight.
Like, I get literally between 3 to 5 hours of sleep.
Even if I lay down, I can't go to sleep before midnight. If I can go to sleep ever like by 11:30, that's good. That's pretty good.
If I make it past the weather, it's a miracle.
Yeah, I can't.
10:20.
Luzak puts you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Watching him,
looking at Gary, just Gary's voice. Wow, just puts me right to sleep.
You know what? Gary's going to be in studio just for you, Tim.
Is he coming in?
He's coming in. Wonderful for you.
All right,
he's coming in to see us.
He bringing that dog here.
7:45.
He bringing the dog. Mm. How you guys doing?
Horrible.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys since Saturday.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know, it was fine during the week because you know I focusing on some college basketball, the NFL. Yeah. I was able to push that aside. Right. Mm-hmm. Now it's Friday. I know we're going to talk football with you. Now,
we're going to talk football.
Everyone's talking about the matchups this weekend. We've got to address it.
I haven't looked at any of them.
The Chiefs are doing things. They hired a new running backs coach to replace Eric Bieniemy,
which is great for Notre Dame because he's an unbelievable recruiter. So I'm so happy that he's gone from USC. He is by far the best recruiter at University of Southern California.
Dylan McCullough?
Best recruiter there. Unbelievable guy. Great coach.
USC running backs coach. He has the reputation of being one of the best
unbelievable recruiter.
Running backs coaches and recruiters in the nation. Is that right?
He's no Andy Hill, but he's close.
So the recruiting part's not going to help him so much with the Chiefs. He must be a really good coach.
No. Right? I don't care about that.
He's not recruiting against Notre Dame anymore. Yeah, I get it.
I don't care if he's going to recruit for the Chiefs or not.
No, I'm just saying, like,
not worried about that at all. I'm glad that he's not recruiting against Notre Dame anymore.
But we're worried about him being a good coach.
A good coach.
Yeah.
How you guys? Like, what do you think of Eric Bieniemy?
We'll work our way backwards. What do you think of it? We talked about it for the best.
I like what was Eric. Your reaction? I know Eric. I played against Eric.
Yep.
In the Orange Bowl in 1989 season, 1990 Orange Bowl, we beat them. They were number one. We were number three. And we beat them in a long drive at the end of the game. We ran the ball 19 times in a row in the fourth quarter and went down and scored. But he came out before the game, and I talked to him about this before. And I was like, you know, I hated you. I mean, I despised Eric Bieniemy. I mean, he talked crap the whole week about how they were going to beat us. And then he came out like, on the 50-yard line and faced the whole team and was just being belligerent and almost caused a big fight before the game, just him himself. And, you know, and then I never really, like, ran into him very much after that till about 2 years ago, and I walked up to him, and I was expecting this cocky jackass. And he was the nicest guy of all time. Oh, my gosh, what a great guy.
What did he say when you brought that up? What did
he laughed, and we we giggled about it like two little schoolgirls.
Right.
We giggled about that. But I'm glad he got a chance. I really, you know, he's called plays before. He's been an offensive coordinator. He was in college, obviously. But,
Colorado, yep.
But you know what? Hey, he's a good guy. He works hard. He's going to be a head. Offense. He'll be a head coach here in the next 5 years. There's no doubt about it. Nope. Yep. Yep.
And I saw.
It seems like all their offensive coordinators just leave in about a year.
And I saw somebody that was surprised because, like, of the reputation of this of McCullough as a recruiter.
Yeah.
And what a great college coach, and the trajectory of where he was headed.
Right.
In college football. Like, why would he leave USC? I'm thinking, what? If you are any type of offensive coach in the nation,
he's this guy.
But you can't
really
wait to coach for Andy Reid, because look at his track record of grooming offensive coaches, turning them in to offensive coordinators. And then head coaches, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. So why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Absolutely.
You'd be desperate to coach for Andy Reid if you're an offensive coach.
Now, he made a big decision because he was on the fast track to being a college head coach.
Right.
And decided that, you know, listen, I probably don't want to do this recruiting anymore. Recruiting isn't easy.
And it's not going to hurt him.
It's not really that much fun.
If he goes to the NFL and puts that on his resume,
coach
for Andy Reid, that's a huge, thumbs up.
But all indications are he'll be an NFL coach, head coach. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I think Eric Bieniemy will be also. I really like Eric. I don't know how he's going to do, guys. I really don't know. I mean, I like him. I think he's a good coach. He's a good guy. He really relates well with the players. Every guy I've talked to that's played for him or has been around him in the locker room and in the offensive rooms said he's a lot of great things about him. He's a hard worker. He's a intense guy. He's very, very motivated.
He knows the offense.
He knows the offense, which is a positive.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more with him.
Mm-hmm. You talked about it. Yeah.
So he's
what do you think?
He's a guy that you think that he's got a great future, and this is another guy that Andy has groomed.
He's grooming.
Bigger and better things.
He's grooming him. Yep.
And then he had a guy in USC that thinks got a future also.
I don't know. I mean, all indications are he's a really, really good coach. He's a good coach. They have a lot of good coaches on that staff at USC. They underachieved a little. I think the quarterback underachieved a little bit more than anybody else, but they underachieved over there this year a little bit. And I think he just said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. Him and Eric Bieniemy are good buddies. I'm positive that they've done. You know, the coaches' clinic, the big one, which was in Charlotte this year, was just going on last week. Which, if you guys don't know, like every high school coach, head coach." Most college coaches and a couple NFL coaches will go, and it's a big convention, and coaches speak, and it's a way to kind of network to get jobs and let people know you're looking for jobs and all those kind of things. And that just went on. Dave Doran was down there, John Holmes was down there talking with Dave, and just a bunch of different guys from around Kansas City. You'd be surprised at how many kids that played high school football here are in college coaching, from the Cashmores who played at St. Pius. They're both college coaches, Willie and Pat. But
Pat.
So this convention was going on, and all indications were that that USC, their staff, there was a bunch of guys out there shopping around a little bit.
Right.
So I don't know what that means.
And look, it's in a very attractive spot. We've seen that you can become a head coach, you can become a coordinator if you're on Andy Reid's offensive staff. Now in the commercial break, I want you to think, how many coaches on the defensive side of the football for the Chiefs are coordinator or head coaching candidates? That's a serious question. We see all these offensive coaches under Andy Reid that get talked about and other people want.
Well, everybody seems to like Gibbs, but I don't know.
Is he a coordinator or head coaching candidate moving forward? And you ever hear his name associated with anyone?
It doesn't seem to pop up.
Anybody or anyone over there?
I can't name anybody else. Can you?
No.
Emmett? Emmett's ready to retire.
Right. Think about that for a minute. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm thinking. Whiskey bottle.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay.
You're in my way.
So we were talking in the commercial break about a wide variety of things.
Yes, we were.
Let's start with Bob Sutton. Do you think the Chiefs are going to retain Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I don't like it.
Why?
just think they're underachieved. I think they're comfortable. I think the whole defensive staff is comfortable. I think we talked about a couple of them. You know, I think I like Emmett. I've known Emmett a long time, and you know, and he's a great guy, and he's a great part of the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, he looks comfortable. You know, Britt Reed, I think he's comfortable. I just think they're comfortable on that side. I don't know. I mean, not a big fan of the way that they played this year. Obviously, they're the worst worst defense in the AFC. You know, everybody blames Andy Reid's play calling for, you know, a lot of the issues in the second half of that game. But the reality is that they never had the ball because they came out at half and it was an 8-minute drive for a touchdown, three and out, and then it was another long drive. It was a bunch of long drives where the defense couldn't get the Titans' offense off the field. You know, the blocking schemes, they were destroying the line of scrimmage. It didn't look like they got any more aggressive. They didn't. I thought they went to the run blitz game a little bit too late. It still didn't work. So I think they're comfortable, and you know, I think Bob Sutton's comfortable. I think that coaching staff is comfortable, and I would like to see new blood in there. I really would. I would like to see somebody come in there and maybe change the scheme up a little bit. I would like to see the Chiefs go to a 4-3 defense. I really would.
What Jeff Chedid said this week.
I just don't get it. Yeah. I don't get the, you know, the odd defense, the 34 defense is a vogue thing. Okay, I mean, you know, let's just break this down for a second. The reason why a lot of teams go to a 34 defense, obviously, because they feel they can get some athletes to play linebacker. Okay, let's just start at that. You know, you don't have to have as many big guys. It's hard to find big athletic guys to play defensive line, even though teams, I think, are fine. And I think there's a lot of good college football players right now playing defensive line. Just look at the national championship game. I'd take two or three of those guys right now from Atlanta or from Georgia. But the 34 defense, it causes issues. Why does it cause issues? Because you have to change your blocking schemes. You got to change your terminology. You know, everything from what you call the linebackers to what pass protections you can run to the different schemes in your run blocking or change. Some of the calls change, and you're thinking, why do calls change? Well, it just does. I mean, you know, a over and under a bear defense with a 4-3, which means you shift to the strength as an over. You shift to the weak side as an under. A bear is when you sink them all down. When you run against an odd defense, it's called a eagle defense, a double eagle defense, a weak eagle, a strong G. It's just the way that it works. So you have to change terminology a little bit. So I think a lot of defensive coordinators think, okay, well, when they come and play us, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're still working on terminology and they're still working on communication, and it throws them back a day or two. Well, there's a lot of teams running 34 defenses now. There's a lot of teams that do that. So the nuance of the odd defense just isn't there anymore. Okay? And I think the Chiefs should go to a 4-3 defense. I do. And Bob Sutton doesn't do that. I think you can do a lot more things with a 4-3 than you can with an odd, even though the zone blitz has become so popular with the Titans and the Steelers and some other teams that are running it. So
I think the Titans and Steelers are the only teams left in the playoffs that run a 3-4.
Yeah. Yep. And
they are. I just looked at all the depth charts.
You just threw out a lot of terms, all the football terminology. We'll take a break. But what do you describe? How do you describe a defense that continues to feature Frank Zombo in a prominent role? Well, I mean, you mentioned a 3-4, so you can get all these impressive linebackers out there on the field. It's like Zombo is what you're talking about,
and
right?
That's a problem.
You want him out there.
And that's a problem.
Right?
When you have injuries, uh-huh. you're going to more like a special teams guy to play at that outside linebacker mm-hmm. position, because that's usually kind of where you cultivate special team guys, is that outside linebacker position. So Frank Zombo is more of a special teams player that, you know, at times he flashes, but when he got blocked by Mariota on the last play of the game.
Right. At times he makes Mariota look like Tony Baselli.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so.
Okay. I'm just, you know.
So, yeah, I would like to see the Chiefs change up their defensive scheme. I would like to see them get some new blood in there, but I don't think it's going to happen. Okay?
Back after this on WHV and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, that's the first question I asked you about Bob Sutton. Question number two that we were discussing in the earlier commercial break. Do you believe that Alex Smith will be the quarterback of the Chiefs next year?
I don't think Alex should be.
Do you think he will be?
I hope not. I
don't.
When
you say he will be.
No, I don't. I'm going to say no.
And you said you don't think he should be.
I don't think he should be. I don't think it's good for him. I don't think it's good for the Chiefs.
How would you feel if he was the quarterback next year?
I mean, it feels like we're kind of, just pushing the reset button every year, all right, and hoping for some different outcome.
Do you think that would be a good decision for the Chiefs?
I don't think it's a good decision for Alex Smith either.
Do you think he would want? Do you think there's any chance he'll say to Andy Reid, "Look, I'd like to be traded"?
Yeah, I do think there's a chance.
I would if I was him.
I think there's a chance. I also think there's a chance he says he wants to finish his last year here. I don't know why, but there's a chance. Hey, listen, this isn't about Alex Smith. This isn't about Alex Smith. Had a great year. I mean, listen, he did the same thing he always does.
The real question is, do you think he'd take a pay cut? Because there's no way he stays under that cap number. Because that'd be the first step in him staying here, right?
He'd have to take a pay cut. I don't know. I can't answer that. I mean, if I was Alex Smith, I'd say, listen, thanks for the memories. It's been 5 years here. The best thing for my family, my wife, my kids, is to go somewhere, go to a good team, go to a team that has a nice offense. I could pick the team. I mean, Alex Smith is basically going to pick the team now. If he leaves, the Chiefs aren't going to send him to Cleveland, okay, because he's not going to go. All right, so there you're going to go to Arizona. He may go to Buffalo. Might go to Jacksonville.
I mean, he has to go if they trade him, right? I mean,
well, I know, but I don't think that they're just going to trade him willy nilly.
Well, teams probably aren't going to give up as much for him if they don't think they can sign him to a contract extension.
Right. What I could have should have.
I'm going to send him to the highest bidder.
That's not going to happen. This is going to be a beneficial deal for Alex Smith more than the Chiefs. Just is.
Now,
I still think the Chiefs are only going to get a third round draft choice for him anyways. Maybe if somebody's desperate enough, a second round, they're not getting a first round for him. That's for sure. They're not. Let me say that again. They are not getting a first round draft choice for Alex Smith, even though he is in the mix for being the MVP. The MVP. First round draft choices are coveted. Listen, look at us. We're sitting here. How boring is it? We're going to have to sit here for 4 months, 5 months, and talk about the draft without a first-round draft choice. How much does that suck?
Actually, it's great because the Chiefs have the quarterback in the future now, so I'm good with it.
I agree with that. But I'm just talking about, I was looking at the mock drafts. I think the first mock draft came out. And I'm looking for the Chiefs.
They're
not there. But so here, listen. So I think it's good for Alex Smith to go ahead and go on and do his thing. He's got about another 3-4 years left in his career. Go ahead and go on and do your thing. Why would you sit here? And knowing that at least 60% of the population of Chief fans want Patrick Mahomes to play.
17 million reasons.
Nah, you know what? I don't get that. You're going to sit there and everything you do is going to be scrutinized. Everything, you're going to hear the crap that, because all it takes is one interception and the Boo Birds are going to come out and Patrick. It's, listen, the Kansas City Chiefs moved up into the top 10 to get this kid. They gave him an opportunity to play against the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos didn't lay down in that game. They played hard. He played good. He won the game. He's 1-0. When's the last time a quarterback from the Kansas City Chiefs that were drafted by the Chiefs won a football game? It's been a long, long time. It goes back to
Blackledge
or Kenny or
goes back
Dawson
to forever.
Or goes back to somebody.
I don't think he's in a hurry to get out of here. With the weapons that are around him and the numbers he just put up in the system. Think about if he stayed here, he
knows what the atmosphere around here is. He knows that
he feels that
everybody wants the other guy to be the quarterback.
Not everybody.
And almost
everybody.
I was listening to Keats yesterday.
But does the team, what's his daily grind like? Does the players around him, do they want him? That's what matters the most. Mitchell Schwartz just gave a
raving review of him on Monday Morning Quarterback.
There's a faction in that locker room that want him, and there's a faction that doesn't. And that's not a good thing.
There's a faction in that locker
room that want Alex Smith to stay, the older guys. There's a faction in that locker room, hey, let's go with the young guns. We got young receivers. We got young running backs. We got a bunch of young guys here. Let's start our own little tradition. Let's start our own little thing here. There's a faction, and that's not good to have two factions in a locker room. Believe me, I've been in that locker room. with two factions.
And believe me, Tim Grenhardt is speaking the truth right now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Before we get back into the Chiefs, Jake wanted me to ask you about Drew Lock's decision to come back to Mizzou for his senior year. Grunny, your reaction, please.
I'm glad he's coming back.
Thank you.
Very happy
for
him.
You know what? I am, too, to be honest.
I know you are. And I think he'll be one of the top three or four quarterbacks next year coming out. And I got some good stuff for you. I just can't tell you.
Do you think it would be the right decision for the Chiefs to take him and groom him behind Patrick Mahomes in next year's draft?
Why not? Yes. Why not? Local kid.
You know, I'm. Hey.
Dad owns a couple of nice restaurants here in town.
Delicious. Andy Locke is a good man.
He's coached by one of the best quarterback coaches in Kansas City in the offseason. Why not to stay here in the offseason, work a little bit with a guy named Justin Hoover?
Mm-hmm.
A nice article on Justin last week.
And for people that don't know who quarterback's guru Justin Hoover is, give some background there. When you mention Justin Hoover, you're talking about a guy who knows a lot about the quarterback position.
I'm taking all the credit for Justin Hoover. I found him on the scrap heap.
You signed him off the street?
I signed him off the street from Nevada, Missouri. No, he's a hard-working, works with the Elite 11 guys, Spin It Football Academy. For anybody who has a young quarterback, find it. Go do it. Works with the kids from, 10 years old to some NFL guys.
You work with Drew Lock?
He's worked with Drew Lock since Drew was a little kid.
See?
So, yeah, so that's some more free publicity for Hoov. He keeps telling me he's going to buy me a nice six-pack of Coors Light and put it on my porch, but he hasn't done it yet. So, so we'll see.
I feel like this weekend,
we'll see.
Today's the day that you've...
Today might be the day, but I'm leaving. Right. I'm leaving town.
Where are you going?
I am going to the University of Iowa to see my daughter swim. The closest she comes to the Midwest. I'm driving to Iowa City to watch the University of Notre Dame swim against Iowa and Illinois.
For anyone out there that perhaps is up in Iowa or went to Iowa or anything else, if you'd like to tweet in any tips for Timmy, I mean, are you open?
I'll be by myself. I'm by myself.
Maybe a lunch place solo. Or somewhere to stop by. I mean, you've got open ears.
How about a good diner or dinner?
Every college town always has a great pizza place.
If you have a place that Grunny has to visit, you'll just be there for a day?
Just a day. Just tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow night.
Okay, so when Timmy's visiting the University of Iowa, if you have any must-visit place for Grunny.
I have never been
Grunny
on the campus.
So I went there several years ago for a KU women's basketball game, and I can't remember the name of the pizza joint that some of my friends who had gone to University of Iowa told me to go to.
Pizza Hut?
It was not Pizza Hut.
Shakey's.
It was not Domino's.
Shakey's.
Oh, I remember Shakey's. I used to love Shakey's. Yeah. Over on Rainbow.
Oh, they were everywhere.
When I was a kid. That's what I used to go to, though.
Old Shakey's Pizza.
Right.
Iowa City's a cool college town, though.
They have a Paglia's there. It wasn't Paglia's, was it?
I can't remember.
Paglia's is kind of a Midwest college.
I go there up in Maryville.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's real good.
They had one in Macomb, Illinois.
They got a Shakespeare's?
They do have a Shakespeare's in Iowa City.
Do they really?
Yeah, I believe they do.
That's where I'm going. It can't be the same.
Here, go to Caddyshack on your way out of town and stop by and take the pizza with you. They also have the Take and Bakes down there. Caddyshack, that's my favorite pizza in Kansas City, so I appreciate that.
You can get a good bet in at Caddyshack.
So what else did you need to say about the Alex Smith situation?
I think anytime now there's two different groups in Kansas City. You're either on the Alex Smith side or you're on the Patrick Mahomes side. I'm on the Kansas City Chiefs side. It just makes a lot of sense.
And what side is that?
The side of, listen, we went out and we drafted a young football player, okay? And you know what? Let's not talk about, well, we don't know if he's going to be injury prone, or we don't know this, or we don't know that. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know if he might be the guy that could lead us in a Super Bowl.
That fear has paralyzed this franchise.
It's just unbelievable.
For four decades.
It has.
Well, if we draft him, he might not be that good. Oh, if we draft him, he might be a bust. That's why they have never, ever made the commitment, because they were afraid to do it. So when I hear that, oh, Good God.
Guys, it's time to stand up, put our big boy shorts on, and say, hey, listen, this is our quarterback that we drafted, that we're developing. You know, it's kind of a unique thing, right, to develop your own quarterback. Let's not go get 49er quarterbacks. How many 49er quarterbacks are we going to go and get?
Joe Montana, Steve Bono, Elvis Grbackup, and Alex Smith.
There you go.
Who's there next?
Jimmy Garoppolo in about 7 or 8 years.
Colin Kaepernick?
Now, I'm shocked. I'm shocked they haven't signed Colin Kaepernick yet.
Yeah.
I know. Anyone that's played with the 49ers.
It could come. It could come this offseason. But
would you be mad, you know, if they...
Does Blaine Gabbert count? Because I'll accept that. That would be a fine backup.
Yes, he would.
Bring him in.
He does count. He counts.
Bring him in. I'm back on the bandwagon.
But in all reality, guys, hey, listen. It's time for this organization to, you know, they step up and develop their quarterback. They went out and they moved up in the draft. They gave away a couple first-round draft choices and said, hey, listen, this is our guy. Now it's time. They gave him a year to learn under Alex Smith, which was a valuable, valuable year. All of us talked about it in the offseason, should Patrick Mahomes start? And everybody's like, maybe not. No. Give him a year to learn under Alex Smith.
Okay, I'd been dying to ask you this question because you're a man who's had many, many grown man's hands between your legs.
Enjoyed every one of them.
Brad Childress did a radio interview in Chicago yesterday in which he said it took literally the entire season for Patrick Mahomes to learn how to take snaps from under center.
Could be.
And it wasn't until week 16 that he finally had it down because he hadn't taken a snap under center his entire college career. Is that exaggerating, or is it really that difficult for a guy who's never done it to learn how to take snaps under center?
It's not exaggerating. There, the art of taking a snap under center is a dying art. And you say, well, why is that so hard? It's just because people don't do it. Now, I'll give you an example. I coached in the U.S. Army game, the All-Star game, a couple of years ago. And we had four or five of the best quarterbacks in high school football playing in that game. None of them, not one, could take a snap underneath center. And it was frustrating because our offensive coordinator wanted to run some boots and some different things out of underneath. And we couldn't do it because they couldn't take a snap. Because high school kids don't do it, college kids don't do it, and all of a sudden you get to the NFL and they're trying to teach you to do it. And it's not that they can't take a snap. It's just, do you have the confidence that they're going to be able to get that snap at a key time? You know, that exchange between the center and the quarterback is the most important thing. Okay? It is the most important thing. It's more important than the handoff. It's more important than the throw. It's more important than a blocking scheme. If you can't get the snap, you can't do anything. You're paralyzed. So to answer your question, I'm sure he could take a snap, but I'm sure they didn't have confidence in him taking a snap under duress until the end of the year.
Right. I mean, thank goodness. I mean, he looked like he could barely function out there in Denver.
There's a quarterback, and I can't remember his name. It might have been Matthews. He was a Florida kid from who came here with the Chiefs. Was it Matthews' quarterback?
Shane Matthews?
Shane Matthews. Oh, was he here? I think he was here. There was a guy. It was either Shane Matthews. I think it was Shane Matthews. Could not take a snap from me. Could not do it. And Mike McCarthy come out to me and goes, dude, you're going to get him cut. Because I said, it's not my fault he won't put his hands in there. Is he shy? Put your hands in there. All right? I'm not going to bite you. It's not going to bite
you. And you were saying
there.
This in the locker room. Which
I'd say put his damn, get in there. Get your hands in there. Guys, they're all timid to get their hands in there. And, you know, it is what it is.
But I mean, Childress did say that obviously he got it down by the end of the year. So, I mean, that's another, if that's all true, that's another. I was thinking of another way.
Slam on him, though.
This has just been a valuable season for Patrick Mahomes, even if he hasn't played a bunch, if he's learning all these different things, you know.
It's not a slam on any quarterback that can't take a snap because they don't do it. They just don't do it. You look at the college game right now. How many teams go underneath? Other than Army, Air Force, Navy.
Georgia Tech,
right? Not many.
Steve Matthews.
That's it. Steve Matthews from Florida, right?
Steve Matthews, actually, he played at Memphis.
Okay.
But he was with the Chiefs from 94 to 96.
Could not take a snap. Couldn't do it.
He was the seventh-round pick in the 1994 draft by the Chiefs. After three seasons with no playing time, he left and joined Jacksonville.
They bought a snapping machine for him. There was a machine that you that he had to put his hands into this machine.
I think they had one of those.
And it would shoot the ball up.
Wow. 50 Shades of Grey, the movie, a snapping machine. I don't know if you.
But the machine basically was a lever system where you'd have to put your left hand in and put pressure on the top, and the ball would shoot up. But so it taught you to put your hand in and get pressure.
So this interview that Childress did, he made it seem like it was more than just about holding on to the ball when the guy, you know, hikes it to you. It was about the fact that when you're under center, depending on what the play is and the blocking scheme, the center might have to take a step back or take a step to the right or whatever. And just getting down all those nuances when you take the snap, being able to drop back at the right time, or all those, is that part of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, think about the footwork. Footwork's much, much different.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to get your three steps or your five steps. Hey, remember this? Remember the three-step drop?
Yeah.
There's no three-step drop anymore. Remember the five-step drop? There's no five. Seven, Steve DeBerg, seven-step drop? There's no seven-step drop. You catch the ball, and you maybe step back one step. You set up, and you throw. I mean, there's no footwork anymore in that aspect. There's no footwork coming off the center, getting your three or four or five steps back,
but
setting up.
Those are all things. Because there are some things that you can only learn by playing in a live game and real NFL games. But it seems like this is the type of thing that a quarterback could learn all season long, being the scout team quarterback and all that, right? Or no?
Yeah, no, they can. But listen, if you're a scout team quarterback, how many times you go down underneath?
Well, that's what Childress said, is he had to a decent amount because, you know, other teams in the NFL are using it. So yeah. that's how he learned it. In the meetings and all that, he got all those reps this year.
I guess. I'd buy that.
I'm trying to look for reasons that he's improved this year. You know what I mean? Like, because people say, well, he just wasted a year. And I don't feel like he wasted a year.
No,
I feel like
way.
He's been
There's
learning
no
a lot of things.
There's no chance that he wasted a year. There's no chance. He sat in the locker room with Alex Smith, who's Alex Smith's a smart quarterback. He's a good quarterback. You know, he threw for 4,000 yards this year, had a good year. And Steven, you brought it up during the break. You watched it in the second half of the game. It was pretty much the same as the second half of the Pittsburgh game, where he just, you know, for one reason or another, he sees too much or sees too little and freezes up a little bit in those key situations, and it's a tick. It's a wart on his game. It is.
People that say it was a wasted year, people is me. I said it was a waste of time for Chiefs fans this year. Not for Patrick Mahomes. It was a waste of my time because it finished the same exact way. It was a waste of time and money for a bunch of Chiefs fans that aren't going to go back out there if Alex Smith's the quarterback.
And the worst thing about it is we called it. Everybody called it.
Some of us called it.
Called it in June.
I think Jake and I called it the day after the Pittsburgh game. This is what's going to happen again. But then you go into the season, and you're in the middle of the season, and you ride the waves of emotion and momentum. You see him beat New England, and then you convince yourself that things were different. But then I was done with it after that midseason dip, and I sat here and fought with Jeff Chedea right about this. We had this argument. He goes, well, if they win a bunch of games down the stretch, you're going to feel better. I said, yeah, but it's not going to prove anything because you're not really playing anyone good. We're not going to know if they've really been able to turn themselves around from this slump until the postseason. And guess what? It was all facade. It was all hashtag fake news.
But it's not all Alex Smith.
No.
I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, they couldn't get off the field in the second half.
It's the team the way it's constructed. Bob Sutton.
The first 15 plays were a work of art, okay? And then when Kelsey went down, it was almost like when Joe Montana went down for us. The air went out of that offensive huddle, and which it shouldn't happen that way, but it did. You know, if you don't think that Travis Kelsey is the leader of that offense, it is the key to that offense. Just look at the second half. I mean, if we watch the first half, he's making plays everywhere. Nobody can cover him.
Listen to
second half, they couldn't do really anything.
Whose fault is that?
But didn't you listen to people that said he should be? They should trade him.
It's the Chiefs' fault and Alex Smith's fault.
Right, you have the leading rusher.
You absolutely right. But yeah, I mean, and then, but also to kind of tie into that, now you have no worry about any of the passing game. So now they were keying in on the running game in the second half, which you give any defense in the NFL, they say, we're worried about one thing, and they'll be able to stop it. And that's why Robinson had a couple nice catches, Harris had a catch or two because they were playing a run. They didn't give a crap about the passing game. Throw it to Harris. Throw it to Robinson. Throw it to
Orson Charles.
Throw it to Charles.
Tyreek Hill
let
them
down. We are not going to let Kareem Hunt run the ball against us. We're not going to let that guy beat us. You can throw the ball over the top if you want to a basketball player or some young kid from, you know, second-year player. You go ahead and do that. But we're not going to let that guy beat us.
Tyreek Hill picked a bad day to drop three passes.
Mitchell Schwartz spoke with Robert Klimko from Monday Morning Quarterback. The interview was released yesterday, and he talked about several subjects. The first question for Robert Klimko was, it's possible that Saturday's loss was the last time you'll play with Alex Smith. What has he meant to this team? Mitchell Schwartz, here's his answer. I think he was the best quarterback in the NFL this year, and the numbers bear that out. So, this is for me.
Right.
As soon as he says that, I'm out. I'm out. Because if you think he was better than Tom Brady this year, then I'm out. Then I know that you love Alex Smith. He's your friend and everything else. But then I can't totally take everything 100% seriously if you say that. You say he was one of the best quarterbacks? Great. Okay. And maybe that's just me nitpicking. But don't say that. As long as Tom Brady is taking a breath in this league, don't say that because you're wrong. Sorry.
Can't argue with that.
Sorry. So as soon as that first, like, okay, great. So I'll read the rest of this fluff piece and move on.
Go ahead.
he put up crazy statistics, and he was by far the best deep ball thrower in the NFL this year. It's been a blast. He's the guy that makes us go. Unfortunately, from his perspective, all the bad in the middle of the season was offensive line related. We gave up too much pressure, and he wasn't able to step into his throws, and that's something we tried to address. And as we got better, he got better. He's awesome. I can't say enough good about him. Okay, so do you agree with Mitchell Schwartz that the dip in the middle of the season was offensive line related?
I think a lot of it was offensive line related. I thought they struggled. I thought the communication wasn't there once Morris went down. Hey, I think Fulton's a good football player. In fact, I think Fulton probably should start next year and maybe move Mitch over to guard. I think both of them need to be on the field, but I think the communication wasn't quite there. The meshing of run plays and meshing of pass protections wasn't there. It takes a little bit of time to kind of that pinnacle, that middle guy that kind of connects everything, that right side and the left side, it wasn't there. It was off. And they did struggle. Look at the Giants game. They struggled in that game. They struggled in the Jets game. They struggled in a bunch of games. And, you know, so I would say that there's a lot to that, but I still think that, you know, I think the defense had a lot to do with it. And I thought Alex Smith at times was as soon as he felt any kind of pressure, and you guys saw this.
Second half against Tennessee.
Any pressure he felt, instead of stepping up in the pocket, keeping his head down the field, and, you know, look at Drew Brees. There's a prime example. Look at Drew Brees. He's about 5'4". Okay? He's in a pocket with a bunch of monsters. Okay? And the guy stands in the pocket and delivers unbelievable thrown spin it balls to people because he's not worried about the rush. You feel the rush. You don't look for the rush. The quarterbacks that look for the rush are the ones that run out of the pocket. And that's what Alex Smith does at times. He looks for the rush.
He was also asked if guys in the locker room would be disappointed if Alex Smith was traded and the team went forward with Patrick Mahomes. Schwartz answers, I think in a general sense, he's underappreciated. We really understand in our locker room how valuable he is to our offense relative to other quarterbacks in the NFL. If that were the case and Alex is out, we'd understand what we're losing. We know that Alex is really the driving force that makes this offense go. If it happens, it happens. But I think we all love playing with him.
It's just that's a stock answer.
Right. What else is he going to say?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's trying to be careful talking positively about the guy that's the current quarterback in case he's back. He can't say
right.
Something bad about him. And at the same time, he's going to try not to say anything bad about Patrick Mahomes either.
I've been there. You know what? I've taken crap for this many times. When I knew that Elvis Gerback was going to start, people would come up to me, what do you want in this game? Well, I want Elvis Gerback to play because I had no choice.
Right.
I knew that Elvis Gerback was going to play. How can I go in the locker room and say that I want Rich Gannon to play when Elvis Gerback was named the starter. You can't do that. You can't sit there and say, no. I wish Gannon was playing. You kidding me?
We're blowing it.
Yeah.
We're blowing it right now. Let me tell you.
But Elvis Gerback laughed at me.
But in the back of my mind, and just like in a lot of the back of minds of guys, that they want to bring this young kid in and see what he can do.
Finally, and there's several other questions, but the one I wanted to get to, Klemko asks, if indeed Mahomes is your quarterback next fall, what encouraged you about Mahomes in year one after seeing him start the final regular season game? Schwartz said, the biggest thing to me was his progression. In that Denver game, he came a long way from the preseason with the stuff he was able to do. He didn't seem phased at all. That's a credit to Alex as much as anybody, being in that room and helping him along. It's a credit to all the coaches in the room, too, and it's a credit to Patrick. It can be easy as a backup quarterback to let things slide and say, well, if I get in the game, it's not really that important anyway, but he didn't do that. Everybody could see his ability to throw the ball, but the mental progression was what really stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I thought that, and we talked about this after the game, I thought they were going to give him a half the field to deal with, maybe a combination with, you know, on the right side or a combination on the left side with maybe a running back coming out of the backfield, maybe give him one or two progressions, one or two things to look at. But if you watch that game, he went, and I said this last week, and so we're on the same page, he went from the first receiver option to the second to the third. I saw him get to the fourth. I watched his eyes, and that's the one thing about this kid. Maybe he's just too dumb to know any different, but he just stood in the pocket, and he said, I'm going to stay in here, and I'm going to go through my progression, and he was fearless in there. And even when he's running around, guys, this is the difference in this kid and a lot of other quarterbacks. When he's running out of the pocket, his eyes are down the field, and they're scanning. They're not looking at one guy. They're scanning. And he sees that guy coming from the backside across the field. It's a dangerous pass, but it's a ballsy pass, too. If you can make that throw and you can make that play, that's special.
Well, and I think that one of the things that's so impressive about Mahomes' arm strength, you could talk about whether or not a guy can throw the ball 50 yards downfield, but can he throw the ball downfield when he doesn't have the opportunity to step into a throw? Because that's one of the things you're talking about when the pocket, you know, starts to break down. If Alex Smith isn't in, and this is just a physical limitation. This is just a human thing. Alex Smith can throw a really good ball when he has the ability to step into it. What's amazing about Patrick Mahomes is he can throw a really good ball when he's got a guy draped all over him and he's falling backwards. Or if he's running sideways or laterally, he can still put the ball on the money with some mustard on it. And there's not that many human beings that can do that.
And to Steven's point, this is the last thing, you know, listen, we could beat this horse to death. But the last thing is, I agree with Steven's point. If the Kansas City Chiefs organization wants to continue the way that they've been selling tickets and they've been selling that place out and all the kind of things that they've been doing, which it's been teetering a little bit, you better put Patrick Mahomes in. Because there's a lot of people out there saying, listen, if it's Alex Smith, I'll take a pass. It's as simple as that.
The horse is not dead yet.
It's as simple as that. You know what? For better or for worse, I don't know. You know what? You never let the fans make a decision for you, but you guys feel it. You guys know it. You guys are around town. People, hey, listen. They know what's sitting back there in the stable, and they want to say, hey, let's let this kid go out and play, and we want to see what he wants to do. Status quo. I don't think status quo after the last couple losses in the playoffs is gonna kickstart this ticket sales and everything else.
There's too much invested in him not to go with him.
You got to do it. Simple as that. They drafted him. They moved up for him. It's their guy. It's, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs organization. And the Kansas City Chiefs fans have kind of said, okay, this is our guy. Now it's time to let him go ahead and run out there and see what he can do.
That's Tim Grunhard. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. We're talking football, but hopefully basketball will make everyone feel better.
I'm starting to get into basketball now. It's that time.
Get into it.
It's that time.
Kansas is playing Kansas State in the Sunflower Showdown.
Oh, yeah.
You know all about that. You battled people for sunflowers for a couple of years, and you collected them.
I've collected. No, I've never love collected them. We always lost our sunflower. Oh, wow.
All right, the sunflower showdown.
Is that what happens? Is there like a sunflower presented? Like, you know, some of these robberies, there's like a trophy or a jug.
They give a big bag of seeds.
Or, you know, like an axe or things
David's
like that.
David's sunflower seeds.
Bigs.
Yeah, bigs. Get the. I like the chili ranch. Lime and what's the one?
Like a giant sunflower. We got it.
No, they just get you get sunflower seeds. You get a whole bunch of sunflower
bag
seeds.
Of seeds.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. No,
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what you got.
Well, it used to be in the football game, the governor would visit the winning team. You know, the governor would usually be there for the football game and come down and go into the locker room and, you know, congratulate the winning team.
Kings of Kansas.
Yeah, no, that was Wichita State in the NCAA tournament. I don't know if the governor always shows up often for. I think the governor started getting booed a whole bunch lately when he started showing up. I don't know if he shows up for things as much these days. I don't know what happens.
We are talking about K-State.
I'd like for Charlie Weiss to show up and congratulate the winning team.
That'd
be
good.
Hey, you know, hey, congratulations, guys! You won the Sunflower Showdown.
Right.
You know,
that'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be good.
Jim Woldridge. They wrote a big article with, you know, a bunch of quotes from Jim Woldridge because his Cream Day Cream team came in. They were the last ones from K-State to go in and win at Allen Fieldhouse.
Wow, I remember covering that game with the young Aaron Swartz.
I was at that game. Wasn't he in a neck brace at that time?
He had hair, too.
Yeah? Oh, wait, Swartz or...
Swartz.
Yeah. No. Swartz was not in a neck brace. No. He was...
the exception of the very Cream Day Cream team.
I was at that game sitting in the stands. That was an ugly game. I think the both teams scored in the 50s, like 59 to 55.
I don't know. The best game was you and I were sitting together. We had a little bonding moment.
That was a KU-Missouri game.
KU-Missouri game.
Yep.
Yep.
That was a big man hug embrace between the two of us.
You could watch Missouri play Arkansas at 5 o'clock.
Missouri play Arkansas.
Right.
I watched a little of the Missouri-Georgia game the other night.
I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What do you got? That's a good question.
My favorite moment from the Sunflower Showdown was after covering one of the games when Tom Asbury... had lost in a nice double-breasted suit that he liked to wear.
Year-round tan, man with a plan.
And I was a fresh-faced, very young-looking reporter back in those days. And I went to do the little media scrum with Asbury, and they did it back like the visiting coach would just come out of his locker room in the hallway. That was back before they had renovated the field house, and he was not in a good mood. And all the reporters rushed up to him to stick their microphones in front of him, and he said. Let's don't stick these microphones up my ass here, people.
Yeah, that's always a bad thing.
And Nate was like, please?
Oh, you know, you're kind of a legend over there, aren't you? Because
I'm a big-time legend.
Oh, Bill Self said that, you know, you were there and you were holding a microphone and said, oh, Nate, it's good to see you here finally.
I'm real happy with it. Oh. Not happy at all. And I'll make sure that if I see anybody quitting or putting their head down or... stick a bat up their ass.
Oh, you're talking about this week when I went up there.
Yeah.
He didn't sound happy to see me at all. He was like, first time you've come to cover us all year, and you're going to stand right in the front and center?
He talked to you.
That's true, he did. And then he said, Bukati, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Typical. So I don't know if
that was... So there you go. He recognized you. Remember that.
Yeah, he did
recognize
me.
He recognized you. He called you out.
I always have that going for me.
Remember.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not talking about you, they don't know you, they don't care.
For people that were asking about the All-22 breakdown that I was talking about yesterday.
Did you put that online for
by,
somebody?
By Seth Kaiser, yes. He wrote a lengthy article. And if you care, first of all, if you care enough to be accurate with your opinion about what happened in the second half, I would encourage you to read it and to watch it.
There were some guys open, weren't there?
Yes. If you would just like to look at the box score and then formulate your argument and work backwards and just say whatever possible.
Was the heat coming down on him a lot of those times?
To support your own argument, that's fine, and ignore what actually happened on the field. What actually happened on the field, that you can do that.
Let the facts get in the way of a good story.
He breaks down every single play, all 20 offensive plays from the second half.
Hold on.
And shows you what went wrong.
20 plays?
Yeah, that's all you need, really.
Wow.
And look, and there's a play where Kareem Hunt clearly made the wrong read, and there was yardage to be gained.
That happens.
Right. But my point is, it's not all bad about Alex Smith. It shows that Tyreek Hill had a bad drop.
I didn't see a lot of...
It shows...
Was there a lot of... I didn't watch it. I watched the game and I watched it.
Right.
But I didn't see, didn't feel like there was a lot of pressure on him.
Well, so the most.
Well, there wasn't, but he thought there was. And a couple of times he pulled it down and did not let the play develop and thought that maybe he saw a lane, panicked a little bit, and there was no lane, and he would get. He had a couple of these 0-yard sacks.
I called
that. We got tackled the offense at the line of scrimmage.
I call that the sucker pin in golf. You know, I mean, you got that pin, instead of hitting right in the middle of the green, you go for the pin, you knock it in the trap, and you take a double bogey. That's kind of like Alex Smith was doing it. He saw that, it was there, but he didn't realize that those linebackers run 4.5 40s, and they can close pretty quick. So that was there, it looked good, and then all of a sudden it closed.
And they baited him into that. They wanted him to, and also there was like with Orson Charles, he had the drop, and he should have caught it, but there's also plenty of evidence there, exactly, to suggest that maybe you don't throw it to Orson Charles. He wasn't the only option on that play.
Jamal Charles?
Okay. Well, I wish it would have been Jamal Charles. Not Orson Welles either. He was not available.
Magic Johnson once said that his philosophy as a passer was that if I throw the ball to you and you don't catch it, it's a bad pass on my part because either I didn't throw it to you in a situation where you were ready for it, or you're not the kind of guy that could catch it. Whatever it was my decision to throw you the ball, and you didn't catch it, so it's on me. And that was his philosophy. Now, that's overly critical, but there's something he said for that. Like, you decided to throw it to Orson Charles in one of the most crucial plays of the game.
And Lou Holtz was famous for yelling at the quarterback after a drop pass. And I'll never forget, this guy named Pat Terrell, who played for the Rams for a long time as a defensive back, and he came in as a quarterback and then moved to wide receiver and moved the defensive back and went to the NFL. Well, when he moved to wide receiver, he could not catch anything. I mean, balls would bounce off his chest, bounce off his hands, and Lou would say, Pat, I'm not mad at you. Tony, I'm mad at you. I told you, never throw the ball to Pat Terrell. Don't throw it to Pat Terrell. I'm blaming you. If you're stupid enough to throw the ball to Pat Terrell, then you know what? It's on you. It's true. Like, just like you said. I mean, if you're dumb enough to throw it to a guy that can't catch it, then it's your fault.
Brian Wentzman had a couple of issues. He was that was the All-22 was not kind to him as well. And so that, I mean,
I didn't see that.
He's been up and down.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What happened to is our guy going to come back next year?
Well, I don't know. He played in Denver, but then he was inactive for the playoff game, Parker Anger. And
yeah. Did that make you angry?
Oh, I mean,
sure,
a lot of things.
Is that a little anger in your soul?
I see what you did there.
A lot of things make me angry, but
I don't get that whole deal. I don't get it. I don't get it. How's a guy hurt the whole year who had a surgery in the middle last year? And didn't play the whole year, and then played decent, and didn't play bad in the Denver game.
I mean, who knows? I don't know. I mean,
I don't get it.
I feel like Phillip Gaines and Justin Houston and some other players have also had issues with coming back from knee surgeries and not exactly the timetable we expected.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's performance-based. I don't know if it was physical. Who knows? I don't know. I expected him to come back and be an upgrade. That really never happened. But if you want to read this, if you want to look at this, Seth Kaiser is a name on Twitter. Real MN Chiefs fan. The handle is Real MN Chiefs fan. And it's a lengthy read, but it's a good read. And it's and he's not attacking anyone. He's just laying it out there for you to see.
Because so you can see it.
These damn facts.
See the end zone copy. There's nothing wrong with seeing the end zone copy.
Mm-hmm.
The end zone copy. That's why I like. I don't know about you guys, but I have tickets on the 40-yard line, and I got tickets in the end zone, in the club level. I love sitting back there because I like watching the whole play develop, and you can see better. At least I can. It's the way that I'm used to watching a play as a coach. It's hard to watch that sideline stuff. You watch the end zone stuff. You see what develops. You see what they're missing, what they're not missing. You see how the play opens up, whether it doesn't open up, and it's really a good opportunity for the lay fan to go in there and watch and see the combinations and who's failing, who's missing. And you're exactly right. There's times when, hey, listen, running backs aren't perfect. You know, they're going to run sometimes into guys that, you know, this is the big hole and all of a sudden they miss it. That's part of it. But, you can see it in the end zone copies. It's kind of interesting to watch.
But I will say this, the big takeaway was, and what he disputes after his findings and after analyzing this, is the play calling wasn't the problem. The plays were there to be made. The receivers were open. The coaches won a couple of those plays as far as the play calling, and the players didn't execute.
Right.
Well, but it's easy to say. And look, I was one of the people saying it because I hadn't reviewed it. I was at the game. And you know, when you're at the game, you miss some stuff.
You miss everything.
You know? The play calling sucked. And then you look back, and then you look at all the plays, and I'll be honest with you, that was the biggest takeaway for me is, the play calling really didn't suck.
Well, the first 15 plays, like I said, was a work of art. It was a tale of two halves. People were executing. Why were they executing? Well, I think that one of the reasons why is because, you know, Travis Kelce is a big part of that offense, and he sets up a lot of things they want to do. When he was gone, that wasn't there. But, I mean, the first 15 plays of that game was probably debatable, but it might have been the best 15 plays they had all year. I mean, they came out smoking.
Jake came out smoking right after the game. I don't say different.
Go ahead, Nate.
It just seems like that's kind of a common thing with the Chiefs because they script those first 15 plays, and there's a lot of games. I mean, the Steelers playoff game last year, they drove right down the field. Remember that? They had a great opening drive, schemed up, drove right down the field, scored a touchdown. But then once the script was done, they couldn't.
Tony Dungy said there's a reluctance for teams, for offensive coordinators sometimes, to go back to those plays that worked. The script of plays that worked because they overthink things. Well, hey, we've already seen that, but now we set up this. You know what? Is that true?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. If for some reason, as the NFL turns, teams don't go back to plays anymore. They scratch it off. That's back when I used to play, but I mean, literally, Joe Pendery would call the same play four or five times in a row until they stopped it. And he'd be like, oh my God, he called it again? I'm like, called it again? But I think teams now, they try to trick themselves a little bit too much. Where, you know, we ran that play, we had success with it, they're gonna adjust to that. Well, guess what? They don't. It takes time.
Make them prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. You dictate the action to them. Don't let them dictate the action to you. And it seems too many times, and really not just with the Chiefs, but with a lot of teams, that they're letting the defense kind of, okay, well, you know, we ran that screen or we ran that draw, we ran that counter, they're going to catch up to that. Well, make them catch up.
You don't think the Chiefs should allow opposing offenses to dictate whether or not Justin Houston is rushing the passer?
Oh, they do that all the time. They do it all the time. I mean, Nate brought up a good point during our break, and I guess we got to take a break here.
That was being a smart ass.
But no, but you know, they go four wide, and all of a sudden Justin Houston's dropping because every team knows that, listen, in certain formations, Justin Houston's going to get in the coverage.
Right.
And we don't have to block him.
And guess what?
It's pretty smart.
Then they go back to that because they don't want him rushing the passer because that's what it still does well. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I go back to what you said at the very beginning. If they don't make some changes on the defensive staff, I'm going to be just about as upset as if they stick with the quarterback situation. I might be more upset.
This team needs a little clean, little house cleaning. It does, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? And Clark Hunt has got to sit down with his boss. I mean, not with his boss. But,
Freudian slip.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. Clark Hunt needs to sit down with Andy Reid, mm-hmm. his boss, and say, hey, listen. Okay, we need to do a couple different things here. And, you know, it's not easy. Listen, Clark, it's not easy when you're the owner sometimes. You know, a coach that's a proven coach, that's been around a long time, to say, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. But he needs to do that this offseason.
I think it's more in the house cleaning. I think they need a remodeling. They need a remodeling of this defense.
Yeah, the defense, yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. All right. On to next year.
So soon?
What do you think about the draft?
There was one? Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a very, very exciting time right now in studio here with me, Nate Bucati, Tim Grunhard, and look here, the one and only Gary Lezak. Has decided to honor us with his presence in studio after a wild day where he was monitoring the weather here in Kansas City. Did you get any sleep at all? I mean, you're up 24 hours straight following the ice and everything else, right?
I've been up, but I went to Austin, Texas this week.
Right.
I listened to you guys on the Sports Radio 810 app.
With how many minutes, stopwatch yeah, out.
How many minutes did Jeff Penner go in his
12 minutes. Ad? I mean, wow. You guys, right, exactly. I was like, you guys, well, at least we know we're not going to mm-hmm. go 15 minutes. And right. he didn't. He went 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. So
we tried to take him off like a 6 or 7, and Jacob said, no, go, keep going. Couple more minutes.
We want to get to the
stretch
record.
Stretch it out.
Phil.
Yeah, keep going. We want to hear more from you.
Fantastic.
So, right.
Get that screen ready because we're going to have a winner of a contest here.
The snowflake contest?
No, not that. We haven't had a winner yet, Grunny.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm in studio with Tim Grunhart.
This is the winner of the Christmas Eve temperature contest.
Right.
Where people had to guess what the temperature was going to be at kickoff of the Chiefs and Miami Christmas Eve game, winning a $1,000 Mazarese jewelry gift card, a new grill from Smoke and Fire, a $250 Hen House gift card, a Kareem Hunt autographed football,
it was cold.
And an Alex Smith trading card of his next team, next year, wherever he's playing for. I don't think you can.
It was cold. I know that.
That and I don't. I'm sorry. That's
you're
not part of it. But I'm just throwing
that
in there. Whatever.
The intro to Patrick Mahomes card.
That's thank you very much. And so, how are we doing this? Do we have it? I've got a wealth of information over
here.
Well,
we had a big drawing, and you know what happened? The kickoff temperature on Christmas Eve for the Chiefs Miami game was
69. Is that right?
69 degrees.
That's what I guessed repeatedly, and they told me I couldn't enter the contest anymore.
Minus 47, which is the cycle length of this year's LRC. So you have 22 degrees. So everyone that put in 22 degrees for the kickoff temperature is in the running.
Right.
So we had a drawing, and we have a winner of all these great prizes.
Yeah.
Are we ready for the winner, okay?
Are we ready, Jake?
Jake's not paying.
Jake, do you have any concept of what's happening right
what's
now?
What's going on?
Exactly. So okay. Did you draw
it? Is it 10 o'clock yet?
The winner of the contest with all these great prizes is Mark West!
Mark West!
Mark West!
Mark West has won.
Come on!
Congratulations to Mark West. He wins the fabulous
The West
gift bag.
His brother Adam passed away.
Is that Batman?
Yeah. Remember West. Adam West?
I remember West. Adam West.
God. Yeah, great old show.
Sharkhandrick West?
So you really can win here on Sports Radio 810 WHG. It's a fabulous prize pack. The $1,000 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry, the new grill from Smoke and Fire, the $250 Hen House gift card.
Wow.
Kareem Hunt autographed football. A phone call from Tim Grunhart whenever you need it, just he can call you and see what's going on. Will you call the winner?
Yes,
or have you already done that?
We'll call the winner. No, I haven't done it yet.
Will you visit the winner at their place of work?
We'll have to do that.
Right.
Yeah, and we'll go surprise them because they don't.
The surprise, it's cat's out of the bag now.
All right, that's right. We already got that.
Right, we just told them.
What did it sound like again?
Yeah, we do have that.
What did it sound like?
Mark West screaming and yelling.
Yeah. Congratulations to Mark West.
This is Mark.
Can you do that anymore? Are you still able to generate
that
sound?
Well, what's going to happen this next week?
Right.
Because that's when we had the winner of the snowflake contest. The chance of us winning the snowflake contest, of having a winner.
Okay, be careful now.
What are the chances?
Sunday or Monday? Well, why are you laughing, Grunny?
Snow on Sunday or Monday?
No way.
It doesn't snow 1 inch anymore?
It's not going to snow anymore. Ever again
here.
Ever again.
We've had
no way,
right? Snow way,
snow way.
You know what?
No way.
I'm going to give you a little bit.
Snow chains.
I'm going to give you a little bit of props here because you and I talk about this all the time,
right?
And you told me you said the second week in January this is going to be a big storm coming through, and you know it's showing how it's going to come up through the four corners, like you always talk about, and we're going to get a bunch of snow.
Yeah,
and it rained
yesterday.
Yes.
No, it rained. Freezing rain.
No,
sleeted and snowed.
Don't say it's snowed.
Look out right there. What is that right there?
Frozen don't say rain. It's
snowed.
Grunny, you could almost make an ant-sized snowman right there.
I saw in the show yesterday you had a little kid, poor little kid, trying to make a snow angel in some dust.
That's a Kansas City snow angel.
Yeah.
I just tweeted.
But you did call the precipitation.
Right. I called the storm. It did happen. Kansas City misses again. Now, there are two disturbances, one on Sunday morning. And one on Monday morning. Jeff Penner has confirmed this.
Right.
Okay, so there's potential for an inch of snow Sunday or Monday. If that happens, 1 inch on the plaza, then we'll have a winner of the snowflake contest, and we will surprise the winner. We had 13,000 entries for that contest.
I mean, how the hell do we wait until the middle of January for an inch of snow?
It's not a good weather pattern. It's just not. But it's not. It's still winter. There's going to be an Arctic blast on Monday, too.
Are you going to have one real big snowstorm so you can catch up to that 21 inches?
Yeah, 21 inches of snow is my winter forecast.
Are you going to have one? Is there going to be one at least 13 to 12 inch snowstorm in Kansas City?
the answer is probably not. We're trying
to get 10
inches. We're all
story
to
of my life,
much.
Gary. Story of my life.
Right.
Oh, my
God. One more inch.
Incredible. Do you would you like to weigh in on the Alex Smith discussion? I know you've been pretty tight-lipped about that all season long.
I mean, I don't get into
you were called out yesterday.
You don't really like to discuss it.
Been begging you for to get your opinion on that.
Ask me the question of the day then.
You were called out yesterday, by the way, by a certain afternoon guy talking about your tweets and how his wife's like, listen, I just want to get the hell out of Kansas City
and
go somewhere else because of Gary Lee's
Do you feel like you've
forced the hand of the family to
Alex
leave
Smith out of Kansas City? Yeah. Do you feel like you're running him out of town? I mean, I think it's a legitimate question.
No, but I was listening yesterday. I mean, Stephen and I are on the same page on when it comes to when we get a quarterback.
This page right here, same page.
I was excited about Elvis Gerback coming. I was excited about Steve Bono coming.
I was high-fiving about Dave Craig. Plan B free agent, baby.
Dave Craig was fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, he was one of
He had small hands.
Elvis Gerback.
Did he have the smallest hands of all the quarterbacks?
He did. He couldn't. Right. He's another guy couldn't take a snap. But I digress.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't he lead the league in fumbles at one point?
Yes.
Well, I think in the history.
Like all time.
He was a little timid about putting those small hands in there.
Very tiny hands.
But Dave Craig could actually take a team
back. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Emotion.
And after he made a few mistakes, he could actually come through at the end. So, no, I'm very excited. The Patrick Mahomes era, in my opinion, has already started. There's no debate. And
Dave Craig could get sacked like 10 times in a game and win on the last play.
Okay, there you go.
That actually happened when he was the quarterback for Seattle and threw the touchdown pass to Paul Scansey with no time left on the clock.
And Derek Thomas set a NFL record for sacks in a game.
And had
lost.
Him in his hands for the 7.5. Sack.
Talk about a crappy offense.
Wow.
Three and out. Oh, gosh.
So, Nate, are you on the Alex Smith leaving page?
I mean, I've been consistent all along. I wanted him to start this year, and I want him to trade him after the season is over.
That's how I feel about that.
Yeah. No, I wanted them to draft a quarterback. I wanted him to sit for a year behind Alex Smith. All those things happened. Now it's time.
Yeah.
As Dick Vermeil once said, it's time, young man, to take the diapers off and go to work.
The time was week one.
Yeah. Well, we can.
No, I don't agree with you, Jake. I do not agree with you.
I don't really care.
Well, I know. I mean, he was not ready week one. And I think week 16 was perfect, and we got to experience something special. Right.
Just think about all the growing pains that we would not have to sit through next year that we would have sat
through
this
year. We're not going to have to sit through them.
Maybe we won't. Maybe he'll be ready to play.
Okay.
It's time, young man.
I mean, come on.
It's time to take your diapers off and go to work, you know.
Look,
love Dick Vermeil.
You know what my expectation is for them next year with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? To win the AFC West for the third straight year.
I have no problem with the Chiefs winning 7 or 8 games next year and with Patrick Mahomes playing. I have no problem with that. I have no problem.
But they could win the division.
Yeah, they can. But I have no problem. Listen, their road schedule stinks. I mean, it's really hard. It's really, really hard.
Some would say the Arrowhead schedule stinks because they can't win there in important games.
Painful.
You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHG like in Kansas City.
Do they play Buffalo?
Do they play Pittsburgh?
Or Tennessee?
Do they play New England this weekend?
Do they play the Titans?
No, they don't.
Oh, man, isn't that painful? I mean, it's less than a week ago. It is less than a week ago.
It's hard to watch.
We got robbed again of a great, great...
Did we?
Did we really get robbed?
Yes,
you not see this one coming.
I mean, I can't believe as Chiefs fans, we're just to war. And let me tell you, I've walked out of that stadium with all these losses. The Denver loss was probably the worst.
Let's not go back to my time.
Just,
let's stay in that game. Stay in the 2000s, okay, please.
Who had the biggest hands of all the quarterbacks that you worked with? You said Dave Craig had the smallest hands.
Elvis Gerback had some big hands.
That's a big catch.
And Joe Montana had very nice, soft, very, very nice, soft.
Elvis Gerback left.
Well manicured hands.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
How about Tyler Palko?
He would put his hands in the dove.
Oh, really?
In the Palmolive.
Very nice.
Yeah, and the Palmolive.
Yeah, right.
It's very nice. I think it's time to do the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do think so.
For you to say that, like,
when,
it must be.
When did that start?
I don't know.
Because he's got to go work out.
I think Jeff Pettin just
not working out. He doesn't work out anymore.
I'm working out right now.
Right.
I'm working out. I'm on my way to work out. We're doing chest.
Am I with you today?
Well, Gary has an agenda.
Are you at nine?
Why don't you work out on time for us?
I'm at nine.
Okay. All right, here's the forecast. Right now it's 5 degrees. Today's high will be 22. Tomorrow about 22 degrees also. Chance of snow on Sunday morning, Grunny. Chance of snow on Monday morning. Between Sunday and Monday, there's a chance.
But nothing until Sunday? No
Saturday night special?
Come on.
No snow. Be honest there's with a me. Slight chance tonight. If I say there's no chance of snow tonight, maybe it'll snow.
So when you say chance of snow on Monday and Sunday and Monday, like a lot of snow or just like a little bit of this?
There's a chance of 1 inch of snow.
Oh, wow. Right. Exciting.
Yeah. Wow. Each time.
Percy snow.
No, if there's 1 inch Sunday and there's 1 inch Monday, your kids might be able to sled.
That's
right?
2 inches.
Yeah, it's 2 inches.
So smart.
Add it up. Yeah. Man. And there could even
Notre
be
Dame education.
So there's a potential. I'll be covering that on 41 Action News. Congratulations to Mark West.
Yeah, Mark West
is done. Wow, West.
Yeah. He's really done it.
And, Wild West.
That's right.
Congrats to the West.
He won all the prizes. And here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. Is your main line slow? We'll open it for $99 plus a free camera inspection. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913, or bobhamilton.com.
Yes, the microphones do stay open, but that's fine. We'll finish the segment right now. Tim Grunhard is walking out. Gary Lezak is bundling up now. He's had it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.